Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Men's Bible Study Fall 2022, also called Summit, because we think of clever names. That's what men do, right? I just want to welcome everyone and say we're so glad you're here. As we begin, as you probably know, we're experiencing some technical difficulties with our Wi-Fi. So as Bobby Crotty just informed me, the Beatitudes say, blessed are the flexible. So we just ask you to be flexible this morning. We're trying to work those issues out. We may and we'll probably give you more instructions at the end before we break up into small groups. Let me just say how encouraged I am to see this many men at 6:30 a.m. That's amazing. It's amazing because I've never seen that before. My name is Oren Martin. I serve on the equipping team. And from the leadership team, I just want to say I'm amazed. I've been on the job 2 months, and I could not imagine this many men gathered together before the sun rises to study God's word. And I just want to say that doesn't get past me. I know the sacrifice it takes for you to be here, families, jobs, lives, ministries, relationships. I mean, everything that's represented in this room on our plates, and yet you chose to be here at 6:30 a.m., and I just want to say thank you. I hope this is a blessing to you. Now, I don't know many of you. Like I said, I'm pretty new here. You may be a new Christian. You may have just come to faith in Christ. And I just want to say, I'm so glad you're here. This is an opportunity for us to study God's word together, to grow in what it means to know God and to find our lives in him. And so we may, you know, be jumping in the middle of the Bible, and this may be the first time you've read these prophets. And I just want to say we're in for a treat as we hear what God has to say to us through his word. You may be a mature or seasoned Christian. You've been a Christian for decades. And you maybe find yourself thinking, these are my favorite books of the Bible. I love the minor prophets. I love these four books. For different reasons, right? We'll find as we go along. And I want to say to you, what a reminder it is. Hebrews tells us that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. So whether you've never read the prophets or you've read the prophets 100 times, you know what? God's word is living and active, and he will speak to you through his word every time we read it. And so we look forward to learning new things together. Maybe you find yourself in here and you're like, what have I done? I'm not a Christian. I haven't trusted in Christ. I just came with a neighbor. I just came with a coworker. This is weird. I don't know, whoever invited you, right? Or maybe you just like stumbled off, just you heard of this going on. Do you want to see what it's about? Right? I just want to tell you that you are in the right place. Right? God has a plan for you. The God of the universe who created you has a plan for you. And the fact that you're here is confirmation. Right? He made you to know him. He made you to find your life in him. He made you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I want to tell you this morning that God has spoken to you and God has spoken to me through his word. And so I just want you to maybe as we are about to pray and ask what the Lord would speak to you about in your life. This is why we're here this morning. Right? We are not here to gather around what we say. We are here together to hear what God says through his word. As we begin, I just want to read a passage of scripture from Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. One of my favorite passages as I think about studying God's word. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches." Now, we can probably go around the room and we can probably tell stories about how maybe the Lord has given us these things. wisdom, strength, riches. In a room this size, this diverse, ages, vocations, I would imagine there's a lot of wisdom in this room. There's a lot of strength in this room. There's a lot of riches in this room. And God's word says that we are not to boast in these things. We are not to lay claim to these things as though they're ours. We've achieved this. No, let the one who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Which is ironic, because even in that, we can't boast as though we've done that by our own strength, by our own works of righteousness, by our own merit. And we'll talk more about that. We can only boast in that because God has made himself known. So we can know and understand him that I am the Lord. Who is this Lord? I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. Why? Because I delight in these things, declares the Lord. So as we go to the Lord together, as we pray, make it your prayer that for whatever reason you're here, whatever reason you came, make this your aim. And ask the Lord that your aim would be to know and understand him. So let's pray together, and then we'll jump into the prophets. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. And we confess that we don't come to you based on our own merit. We know that you are holy. You are righteous. You are light, and in you there is no darkness. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord, and who can stand in his holy place? And the answer is none of us, in and of ourselves. We have not loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have not loved others as ourselves. We have loved other things. We've not obeyed your commands. We are not perfect. We are sinners. And so we can't come into your presence and call upon you as our Father in and of ourselves. The only reason we can do that is through your Son, Jesus Christ. That in the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. So we thank you that Jesus came for the joy set before him, and he lived the life that we could not live. He obeyed your word perfectly. He died the death that we deserve to die for our sin. He paid the penalty that we could not pay. As the one who was both God and man, he died for sin. He was buried, but he was raised from the dead, victorious over sin, over death, so that through trusting in him, by looking to him in faith, we can be forgiven of our sins. We can have the hope of eternal life. We can have the joy to come to you as we're doing right now and call you our Father. And so we ask this morning, Lord, that you would bless our time together. We thank you for making yourself known to us. We can look outside and see the heavens declare the glory of God. They're expanse the work of your hands. But we thank you that you have made yourself known even more specially and savingly through your word that testifies to Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray this morning as your word is perfect and sure and right and true. That through your word, Lord, as Psalm 19 says, that you would revive our souls, that you would make wise the simple, that you would rejoice our hearts, that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things from your word. We pray, Lord, that we would desire to know you through your word, and that through your word, you might give us life and joy. So we ask this morning, Lord, that you would bless this study of the prophets, that you might make us more like Christ, and that we might make Christ known to those around us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, y'all can continue to flow in here. Let me just say before we jump into the books we're going to study this fall, from beginning to end, what is the Bible about? Jesus. That's a great, yeah. That sounds like, what did you learn in Sunday school this morning to my kids? Jesus, yes. From beginning to end, and we'll get there. The Bible is one book with one story about God's kingdom that comes through Jesus Christ. That's it. The Bible's one book with one story about God's kingdom that comes through Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Maybe in simpler form, the Bible is about the kingdom of God. Now, you may ask, what is the kingdom of God? It's a great question. And this is what I would say the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is God's people in God's place under God's reign or rule or kingship. God's people in God's place under God's reign. I like to say personal reign, so we keep with the letter P. People, place, personal reign. Right, this is important to see as we dive into the minor prophets we'll be studying together, right? Hosea, Obadiah, Habakkuk, and Haggai. Right, why is this important to keep in mind? Because we're jumping into the middle of the story. As you probably have noticed, right? You're trying to find these books towards the end of the Old Testament, right? It's almost right in the middle. And because we're jumping into the middle of this story, we must know what comes before we get to these prophets in order to make sense of these prophets. As I said a few minutes ago, I'm now 2 months on the job as the director of equipping. And I did not have any previous history with Watermark Community Church. I knew one person, Timothy Atik. That's the only person I knew. I knew nothing else of Watermark besides the fact that it was in Dallas. And I feel like these past 2 months on the job have just been me asking questions. I feel like that's all I've done. Listening, learning, and just asking questions. Asking questions like, what's the history of Watermark Community Church? I heard this person. Who is that person? Where is what's on this floor? What floor is this person on? Now, why do we do these things? Why are we making this decision? Why have we made this decision? What is Summit called? Men's Bible Study? Oh, Men's Bible Study, okay. I've just been filled with asking questions. Why? Because I'm jumping into the middle of Watermark Community Church's history. Of Watermark Community Church's story. Right? And I have all kinds of questions of who and why and what and when and how and every other question. And as I've begun to kind of fill out this picture of people and places and rooms and decisions and everything else, right? I've begun to kind of orient myself so that I can be faithful in my role. Similar thing happening here, right? For us to understand the prophets, we must understand what came before so that we can understand the who and the why and the how, so on and so forth. And I want us to see what came before through six movements, what I call six P's of the kingdom. Right? The Bible's one story about God's kingdom, then where are we when we get to these prophets? Well, let's start from the very beginning. In Genesis 1 and 2, we see the pattern of the kingdom. We see the pattern of the kingdom. What is the pattern of the kingdom? Well, we just said it, right? God's people and God's place under God's personal reign. Right? This is the pattern of the kingdom. God's people, Adam and Eve, in God's place, the Garden of Eden, under God's personal reign or rule. As we've seen the past few weeks, as we've gone through our preaching series in Genesis called Beginnings, we see the beginning of how everything began. Like God speaks, and creation comes into existence. And God said, and God said, and God said. Right? That creation hangs on the very word of God. If God didn't speak it, it didn't come into existence. So Scripture tells us first and foremost about who God is. It also tells us about what God created, right? That culminates in day six in God's people, right? God preparing creation to place his people into it so they could live under his personal reign, right? We see this in the very first words to them, right? And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Here's what I've given you to eat. Here's my provision for you to find your life, to be faithful, right? To live under my reign. And even in those words, right? What's the very first words to Adam and Eve? They were commands. Be fruitful. Multiply. That demonstrates his kingship, his authority, his kingdom. And so Adam and Eve were created to live under God's blessed reign, to find their lives in him, to enjoy the provision that he had given them so that they might flourish. God rested after all that he had made. He saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And so Adam and Eve were created to operate and live within the boundaries of this rest, of this peace. But we know from the story, Genesis 3, this rupture of this rest, this rupture, this breaking of this blessed state that they were created and called and commissioned to live in, right? And so we see in Genesis 3, the perished kingdom. Right? These tragic events that instead of listening to God's voice, they listened to the voice of another, the serpent. Right? Did God really say? And in so doing, that place of blessing, that place of rest became a place of brokenness, a place of conflict, a place of curse, a place of sin. And we see in the curses that were pronounced on the man and the woman and the serpent, who's later identified as Satan, we always see it's curse, 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 conflict, 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 right? God comes to Adam. Adam, what have you done? Adam, what is Adam's first response? The woman you gave me, she made me do it. Blame. I'm sure that did not go well in his house that evening. Comes to Eve. Eve, what have you done? It's the serpent. He made me do it. Right? Blame shifting. And this just spirals, right? Like an avalanche, to where all we see in the wake of Genesis 3 is sin. Cain and Abel, right? Followed by this person lived this long and died. This person lived this long and died. And this person died. And this person died. I mean, a whole account of death. Why? To be redundant? No, to tell us that sin reigns through death. And we still see that today. So instead of being under God's rule, right, being God's people in God's place, at the end of Genesis 3, we find Adam and Eve out of God's place. Under the rule of sin, right? Paradise enjoyed became paradise lost. Right? And that's not just way back when. That's our world today. You look around us, what do we see? We see conflict. We see curse. We see brokenness. We see wars. We see conflict with our spouses, conflict with our children, conflict with our coworkers, employees, employers. We see brokenness, terminal diseases. Maybe some of you in here. The death of loved ones. Maybe this describes your life and in all of our lives, right? We experience this, we feel this, not just outside of us, but in us and around us. And the question we should ask, right, when we get to Genesis 3 and when we look at ourselves, And we look at this world. Is there any hope? And the answer is yes. We see this in Genesis 3:15, right? The promised kingdom, right? God says to Eve, right? In the midst of curses, he says, through you, Eve, will come an offspring who, though he will receive an injury to his heel, he will deliver a blow to the serpent's head. And so there's a promise of grace and mercy that's folded into the context and just the pain of curse and sin. And so from that moment, I always tell people we should put on our eschatological glasses, right? Eschatology, the teaching, what the Bible teaches about last things. We think about the end, right? At that moment in Genesis 3:15, there is eschatology. He's saying there's going to come a time when I will end sin through this offspring. And so we should be reading with eyes of who is this offspring? Who is this child that's going to come from Eve and end sin and crush the serpent? And the remaining story of Genesis, and indeed the rest of Scripture, is concerned with opening our eyes to see more and more of who this offspring will be. Well, we know it's not Cain and Abel, their immediate descendants. The story rolls on, and so we see, right, the progressing kingdom. And we see how God's kingdom develops and progresses through God's covenants. So, for example, we see God's covenant with Noah, right? A relationship that God initiates to keep the story moving forward. Right? In the midst of universal sin and curse, God makes a covenant with Noah, and this shows us God's commitment to continue his blessing to the world. With the sign of a rainbow, that we remember God's commitment to his world, to his creation, to bless it. And the story rolls along, and God calls Abram, who becomes Abraham. Abraham shows us, in God's covenant with him, that God's worldwide blessing will come through one man, one offspring, and his family, Abraham. Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. Jacob is renamed Israel, and Israel becomes the people through whom worldwide blessing will come. Fast forward to Moses and Israel. As God makes a covenant with them at Sinai in Exodus 19 and 20 and gives them his word, right? We see that God's worldwide blessing will come through his obedient people, Israel. And so God delivers them from the Egyptians and transfers them to the promised land. And so we have God's people, Israel, in God's place, the promised land, under God's reign. But we're confronted by the end of Exodus and the rest of the Old Testament, there's a recurring problem, which is sin. They can't obey his word. There's grumbling, there's idolatry, there's fear of man, there's all kinds of sin. And we come to the end of Deuteronomy and we are confronted with a picture that Israel needs new hearts, right? Their problem wasn't the idolatrous nations around them. The problem of Israel is their idolatry within them. But the story rolls on and God continues to be gracious to his people and patient with his people. Till we come to David, through whom we see God's worldwide blessing will come. And it will come through a unique person, a Davidic son. We see in places like 2 Samuel 7, where God promises to David that you will have a son and he will be a son to me. And on his throne, he will reign forever, and his kingdom shall have no end. And so here we see massive progression of God's promises, of God's kingdom on earth. David has a son and names his son Solomon, which in Hebrew looks a lot like Shalom. And as readers, we are confronted with the question, huh, that's interesting. Will Shalom come through Solomon? Solomon builds the temple, dedicates it, blesses it, and finally we have this glorious picture of this beautiful temple right smack dab in the land. Holy of holies, right? God's presence, atonement, sacrifice, forgiveness. And finally we're here, right? God's kingdom has finally arrived. Story over. No. like Adam. We see Solomon's great fall, which results, right, in the wake of it with conflict, right? The parted kingdom. Israel, the north, falls to Assyria, 722. Judah does pretty good for a little while, but eventually Judah falls too in the south, 586. But in the midst of these curses, in the midst of judgment, in the midst of division and conflict, what do we have? We have the sixth point, the prophesied kingdom. This is where we are. In the midst of judgment and exile, kind of like Genesis 3, come the prophets of hope. And this is where we find ourselves in the story. Right? The prophets give us firsthand commentary, eyewitness accounts on this period of Israel's history. And as the chart on the inside cover of your workbooks show, right, these prophets, called the writing prophets, because God had other prophets like Elijah and Elisha who didn't write books, right? But we have writing prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the major prophets because they're longer, right? And we have the minor prophets because they're shorter, right? These prophets, right, give us firsthand commentary on what it was like, right, before the exile, pre-exilic, during exile, after exile. And though each prophet has his own voice in his own time, these prophets have a unified message. And here are some themes that we'll see as we go through the prophets. Right, we see that through Abraham, God chose to bless Israel so that through Israel, blessing will come to the world. Because all the way back to Genesis 12 and 15, that through Abraham, God chose to bless Israel so that through Israel, blessing would come to the world. We also see in books like Obadiah, that as God promised, those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. We see a nation, Edom, who Esau's descendants, who didn't bless Israel, who cursed Israel, and judgment coming to them too. We'll see through these prophets that though God chose Israel to bless so that they would be a blessing, right, we see that Israel sinned. And not just Israel. We see throughout these prophets that things got so bad, it wasn't just the people, it was the leaders. They sinned too. And as a result, God will judge them because God's holy. Yet, gloriously, judgment is not God's final word. Right? Despite Israel's failure, God will bring salvation, God will bring restoration, and God will bring renewal in order to fulfill his saving purposes. So as we track through these four books this fall, look for these themes. Now, you may be asking, why does this matter to me? Why does something that happened thousands of years ago matter? Because part of studying Scripture, right, is applying the storyline of the Bible to the storyline of our lives. Because the story of the Bible is our story. God made you and me to know him, to experience his blessing. But we've sinned too. I don't think we have to spend much time talking about the ways that we've sinned against our friends, our spouses, and our workplaces. And as a result, because God is holy, God also must punish our sin. But like Israel, there's good news. Right? God's last word is not judgment, but the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ came, right? God's obedient son came, and he lived the life that Israel couldn't live, and he lived the life that you and I couldn't live. And he did that in our place for us and for our salvation. Right? This is the gospel, that we might experience God's blessing in and through the obedient son, Jesus Christ. And what I love about the prophets is that it's not as though God just spoke back then. Hebrews 1:1 tells us that in the former, in past times, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets in many portions and in many ways. He spoke through Hosea, through Obadiah, through Habakkuk, through Haggai, right? He spoke to the fathers by the prophets in many portions and in many ways, right? We can see throughout the Old Testament, there's many ways that God spoke to the fathers, to his people, through the prophets. But the writer of Hebrews says this, but in these last days, look for that phrase throughout the prophets, in the latter days, in the last days, in the latter times, in these last days, which Hebrews is telling us, right? We're living in these last days. In these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son. Jesus is the final prophet who has come, who testifies to God's truth, who not only speaks truth, he says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through me. God has sent his Son, Jesus. And God has spoken to us by his Son so that we might know how to find blessing. And so I pray as we study these prophets, that you keep this story in mind and that this story drives you and me to Jesus Christ, in whom blessing is found. Right. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that you would richly bless our time together in your word. As we learn these stories from the prophets, may we consider our own stories. And may we find our story in your grand story that leads us to Christ, and that we would find our lives in him. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Hey guys, I'm Bobby Crotty. I had the privilege of leading this group. The good news is that the check-in is working, so if you don't know where your name tag is or where your room is, you can go out to one of the kiosks and print your name tag, and that's what we'll do every Thursday morning. Check in at the kiosk, print out your name and room number, and so you ought to be good to go. We'll also have guys out there with lists that can help you if you have a problem, but if you know where you're going, let's go there and have a good morning. Thanks for being here.